The fact that Olynthus and her associated allies in the inland of Chalcidice could defy Athenian rule was a signal to other members of the Delian League that under the right conditions they could break away from Athenian rule. And this was a signal the Athenians really couldn't tolerate. And that's one of the reasons why the Athenians went through such efforts to mobilize Macedon to assist in taking these towns, to call in the Thracians. And both of these actions just alienated the Greek cities in the area more because they considered Macedonians and Thracians barbarians. And in the end, the Athenians faced an ongoing rebellion in Olynthus, which they never succeeded in putting down. Eventually, Olynthus united the entire Chalcidice in a league by the end of the Peloponnesian War, a league that proved a very, very powerful force in northern Greece in the 4th century BC, and a model for the type of federal leagues that may have offered prospects for a wider Greek political unity after 404 BC. Nonetheless, the Athenians had the revolt contained by 428 BC. They had access to the timber. There are several decrees that the Athenians passed in the assembly whereby Perdiccas gave permission to the Athenians to cut timber in Macedon, ship it to Athens. In return, the Athenians voted all sorts of honors to King Perdiccas of Macedon. And you never can really tell how much allied Perdiccas ever was with the Spartans or the Athenians. He operates in Macedonian self-interest. This situation in 428 meant that the Athenians more or less had the situation in hand in the north, and yet it potentially could turn to crisis. The Athenians had intercepted a mission to the king of Persia, which had made its way to the Thracian court. Those delegates were arrested, and among the representatives that were sent were two individuals that were extremely important. One was an Argive, a guy by the name of Pallas, acting in a private capacity, is probably Proxenus to the Spartans. And Argos had traditional ties with Persia. The others were Spartan allies, including Corinthians, above all, including the man Aristaeus. That was the man who had commanded the volunteers at Potidaea, and ironically, he was the son of the Corinthian admiral who disputed the command at Salamis with Themistocles. His father's name was Adeimantus and is recorded in Herodotus. The Athenians arrested these fellows, they actually executed Aristaeus, and they were extremely concerned that the Spartans would be able to achieve some kind of breakthrough and diplomatic understanding with the Persians, who would then provide either financial or naval assistance in the wars in the northern Aegean. Fortunately, this mission was intercepted, and there were apparently letters written in Aramaic in which there were indications that the great king of Persia wasn't quite sure what the Spartans wanted, which suggests that the Persians were still keeping the Spartans at arm's length, fearing them more as rivals and competitors rather than as potential allies against the Athenians. So in 428, the Athenians were facing a severe crisis. The revolts were not contained. The second crisis was fiscal. The money was running out. The siege of Potidaea, the ongoing war in Olynthus, despite all of the victories in northwest Greece, this all cost money. And Pericles had probably envisioned a war of 4 or 5 years, but by 428 BC, the money was running out and the war was dragging on far longer than anyone had imagined. Furthermore, the Spartans showed no interest in relenting in pressing decisive victory. They did avoid Attica to avoid the plague and concentrated on besieging the little city of Plataea in Boeotia, the traditional ally of Athens in central Greece. And that town was cut off and blockaded and under siege and eventually was forced to surrender, or what was left of the garrison was forced to surrender to the Spartans. In addition, as I said, the Athenians lacked the kind of leadership necessary to give Athens a vision and explain the sacrifices of war and come up with a strategy to replace that of Pericles. As I said, there were many able generals, but no great leader. It's in this light the revolt of Mytilene, which forms the centerpiece of the third book of Thucydides' history, should be seen. Mytilene was the largest city-state on the island of Lesbos, and Lesbos is an extremely wealthy island off the coast of northwestern Turkey today, settled by Aeolian-speaking peoples related to the Thebans and other people of central Greece. It also controlled a large Perea, that is, lands on the shores of Asia Minor, and it was on the route to the Hellespont, had close ties with towns like Byzantium and Chalcedon, Megarian colonies.